Please be seated. Pastor Steve. Well, thank you for that singing. This morning, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 5. There is children's church. I was supposed to announce that, and I always forget. And if you want your child to go to junior church, you can send them that way. I am going to give a little bit of a forewarning here. Let me get this turned on. Too much going on at once for me. I can't comb my hair and walk. Good thing I don't have to. So in Proverbs 5, one of the greatest points of attack by Satan is the destruction of the family. And you look around today, and that's happening all over the place, whether it's through the homosexual movement, sexual immorality. One effective way to destroy the family is through infidelity. And the number one reason for divorce in America is just that, it's infidelity. You know, the author of Proverbs knew this, and obviously God does as well. And so, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we look at Proverbs. It's a main theme in the book of Proverbs, sexual immorality, the adulterous woman. And how relevant is that for us today? You know, back in the Apostle Paul's day, if you went to the city of Ephesus, there was one temple, the Temple of Diana, which had 1,000 temple prostitutes in it. So if you could avoid the Temple of Diana, and you could avoid that, you're doing okay. Now we have something 24/7. And so, you know, Apostle Paul's day, stay away from the Temple of Diana. Now 24/7, you have something in your pocket, then you can access pornographic material anytime you want. So in Proverbs chapter 5, we're going to look at the adulterous woman. Before I begin, I'm just going to give you a quick roadmap here of where I'm going to go, and in case parents want their children to step out, we are talking about sexual immorality. And so as we look at this, again, just a roadmap, we're going to look at the adulterous relationship, the temporary pleasures, the price paid for those temporary pleasures. We're going to look at the faithful marital relationship, the blessing and the satisfaction. We'll be looking at the problem of living in a pornific culture. And then how do we avoid the adulterous woman or sexual immorality? Nothing I say is going to be explicit, but I do want you to make a judgment call. Also, you know, before you send your child out too early, I want you to also remember that the average age that a person is exposed to pornography is 11. Some surveys say as young as 8 years old is the average exposure to a child of to pornography in our country. My first exposure, I was 7 years old. I was in an abandoned home. Me and my brother are digging around, and there it's there. My son was 12 years old at the public library. When we confronted the library, they said, it's art. And so if you think that you're exempt from it or your kids are, you have another thing coming. So don't send your kid out prematurely, because I think this is something that we all need to hear. But I want you to make that judgment call as we look at this topic. So I'm going to open in prayer if you want your kid to leave. I hope when I open my eyes there's still people here. Don't use this as an excuse to bolt. But let's pray, and then let's look at this very relevant topic. Lord, we just come to you this morning as I've studied this out, and my heart's been heavy. And not only for myself, this church, our kids, our grandkids, our families, there is a war that's going on our families. The destruction of the family. So, Lord, this is so relevant, as all of your word is, but as I stop and think of our culture. So, Lord, once again, I pray that each one of us would listen, that we'd pay attention, that we would give heed to the warnings that we're about to look at. And may we leave here changed by your word, purposing in our heart, having a resolve to honor you with everything that we do, everything that we say, with our bodies. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the adulterous woman, Proverbs chapter 5. I'm going to read the chapter. We'll go back and take a look at this. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of life, her ways are unstable, you do not know them. Therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your ears to the cruel one. Lest aliens be filled with your wealth, and your labors go to the house of a foreigner, and you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised correction? I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. Verse 15, drink water from your own cistern, and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be only your own, and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of your youth as a loving daughter and graceful doe. Let her breast satisfy you at all times, and always be enraptured with her love. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman, and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. He shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. I want to start out this morning. Let's look at the adulterous woman. Let's go back to the first part of the chapter. And this chapter again starts out, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding. Listen. Hear me out, and we've seen this, chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and now 5. Pay attention. Listen to what I have to say. This is of utmost importance. Hear this and apply this to your life. And then we jump into and we look at this, the adulterous woman. The temporary pleasure. Okay, listen, pay attention, that you may preserve discretion, that your lips may keep knowledge. For, here's why you need to pay attention. For or because the lips of an immoral woman drip with honey and her mouth is smoother than oil. Of the temporary pleasure that we see here. You know, her lips drip with honey. It seems so good. It seems so attractive, so sweet, so alluring. And it's that's why it's a temptation. Her lips drip with honey. Her mouth is smoother than oil. She sounds so convincing. Her words are plausible. They're persuasive. You know, think about this. And sex sells, doesn't it? That's why you look at the billboards, the TV commercials, and sex sells. It's convincing. It's persuasive. It's alluring. It's attractive. And she promises this pleasure. She promises fulfillment. But it's all temporary. And it's all fantasy. That's all it is. It's not reality. So her temporary pleasure, her lips drip with honey, her mouth is smoother than oil. Again, this is persuasive, it's attractive, it's alluring, it looks so good. But then we have to look at the price. Look at the price in verses 4 through 11. But in the end, okay, it looks attractive, everything looks good, but in the end, she's as bitter as wormwood. There's bitterness. This wormwood, it's, as her lips drip with honey, but wormwood was a plant that had intense bitterness. In fact, it would be like hemlock. It's a poisonous herb. And honey, everybody likes honey, but this is, in the end, it's a poisonous herb. The woman appears attractive, appears convincing, seductive. But she leads you to ruin. She leads you to death. She's likened unto a lethal double-edged sword. Her cruel personality will come out. Her true colors will show. They'll be revealed. Her honey becomes wormwood. Her smoothness turns sharp. She will bring social ruin. She'll bring social ruin. I personally know a state representative in Michigan, Christian guy, but he got caught up in adultery. And it destroyed him socially. And it was ruin for him. This adulterous relationship brought social ruin. You know, I think back, I was a young man, I was about 26, 27 years old. And there were some rumors that were I had heard. I heard a rumor about this guy. And actually, someone else came and said, hey, this is what's being said. So I went to this. It was a Christian of a principal of a Christian school. And the rumor had was that he was, the world likes to call it an affair. It's not an affair. It's adultery with one of the student's parents. And so I went straight to the Christian school principal. And I said, hey, this is what's being said. And he, of course, taken back, and, oh, I just can't believe this would be said. 2 weeks later, it was revealed that it was true. The social ruin. It was devastating. And with it, it also brings relational ruin. And think of the impact that had on his family, her family, the school as a whole. And you have kids looking up to this guy as a spiritual leader. What happens to them? And you have this relational ruin. Sadly, there's another Christian school principal that took off with the teacher, one of the teachers. And his kids were relatives of mine. And the kids' lives, they were in shambles. And for it also includes spiritual ruin. Those kids, this Christian school principal's kids, just everything they taught, they threw aside. Everything they were taught, they just cast aside. They wanted nothing to do with God. They rebelled. They're in all kinds of trouble. Their lives still are a mess. It's an absolute mess. It's chaos. And you know, Luke 17:1 says, then he said to the disciples, Jesus said to his disciples, it's impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. You know, does our sin choices, do they affect other people? You know, as I've talked to teens that are caught up in some sin, and what I usually do with them, I draw some circles, like looks like almost like a target with different rings. And you start making dots on that, all over that paper. And when you're young and you make a sin choice, how many people does it affect in that little circle? But the older you get, the more people you affect, and your sin choices hurt other people. And so you see the social ruin, you see the relational ruin, you see the spiritual ruin that takes place. And then you even look in our text and you'll see that there's economic ruin. Hear my children, verse 7, do not depart from the words of my mouth, remove your way far from her, do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your ears to the cruel one. And your honor, your credibility, your social status, and when you are caught in immorality, the social ruin. Verse 10, lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. And you sit and hear people, this husband goes off and he commits adultery and he's chasing off with some other woman. And then he has to pay child support, and you listen to him complain because half of his income's gone, and he lost this and lost that, and there's economic ruin. What do you expect? What do you expect? And I know there's a flip side to it. There's times that the woman takes off, and he faces economic ruin because she's unfaithful. But there's consequences. There's economic ruin. It's bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. But the point I'm trying to make here, the point the author is trying to make here, is that the adulterous relationship brings ruin, doesn't it? Do you see that in our culture? You know, I coached wrestling, and out of 1 year, I had 28 kids in the room, and 20 of those kids didn't live with both parents. 20 out of 28. And the devastation, the destruction, the ruin that this has on families is terrible. You know, this past week, and I'm sure most of you have heard of this, but I read again the sad, sad story of a man named Ravi Zacharias. One of the greatest apologists in modern history. He traveled the world defending the Bible, and defending it well. And Ravi, you know, people said, well, Ravi fell into sexual immorality. He didn't fall into it. He took some dangerous steps, and he didn't stop it, and that's where he ended up. And, you know, he denied the accusations, but after his death, his very own foundation found out that it was true. His legacy destroyed. How many people, that had heard him defend the gospel? How many people did he share the gospel with, and then they said, you know, why would I want anything to do with his Jesus? Because of his testimony. And so a legacy destroyed, the gospel hindered, crowns lost. Warren Wiersbe says this, the most expensive thing in the world is sin. Think about that. The most expensive thing in the world is sin. It always takes you further than you want to go, and it always costs more than you think. Look at the regret of the one who commits adultery in verses 12 through 14. Okay, there's that warning. And you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed, and you say, how I have hated instruction, and my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. And there's regret. There's regret. That's the adulterous relationship. Then in the text, we see the faithful marital relationship. You know, God isn't anti-pleasure. God's not anti-pleasure. But sexual pleasure, and it's not wrong within the bounds of marriage. Within God-given boundaries, there's blessing. Go back to the text. Drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be only for your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. Why do I keep saying Ruth? Rejoice of your youth. But the blessing that comes from a faithful marital relationship. You know, if my wife and I remain faithful to each other, we don't have to worry about STDs. I don't have to worry about an angry husband that wants to kill me. I don't have to worry about someone finding my text, my phone, or looking at my computer. I don't have those worries if I'm faithful to my wife. You know, God designed marriage. It's His idea, and when we do it His way, it brings what? Blessing, doesn't it? When we honor God in our marriage. But when we don't, it's nothing but trouble. It's nothing but trial. We need to do it God's way, and when we do, it brings blessing. There's sexual satisfaction. We see it in our text. Why is there dissatisfaction in marriage? Oftentimes, it's because the marriage partner is seeking sexual pleasure outside of the bounds of marriage, whether that is pornography or a real person. Marriage is God's idea. And when we follow His principles, when we follow His way, it brings blessing. But here's the problem. We live in a pornified culture. Pornography is defined as sexually explicit writings, images, video, or other material whose primary purpose is to cause sexual arousal. We know we're in a pornified culture, by looking at the following indicators, and I pulled this off of several different, and some of these are secular websites. Listen to this. The porn industry generates more income than the combined revenues of ABC, NBC, CBS, and more than the combined revenues of the NFL, NBA, MLB combined. In the USA, the porn industry generates between $15 billion and $97 billion a year. Every second, $3,075.64 is being spent on pornography. More people view internet pornography every month than they do Netflix, Amazon, and Twitter combined. In 2016, people watched 4.6 billion hours of pornography at just one of the more than 42 million pornographic websites. We live in a pornified culture, and that's why I said, you know, don't send them to junior church too quick, because I'm telling you, it's at your fingertips. It's in the public library. It's at school. It's in your home. Through different media sources. Even more alarming is this, is how early we expose our children. 93% of the boys and 63% of girls will be exposed to internet porn before the age of 18. The average age of first exposure is 11 years old, and some surveys say as early as 8 years old. You wonder what's happening to families, to kids. We live in a pornified culture, and the effects are devastating. What are the effects of pornography? It impacts relationships. It destroys relationships. We've been, unfortunately, have had to witness this firsthand. Close up, we've seen it destroy. It destroys marriages. It destroys families. It's addictive. It fuels violence and abuse. It harms sexual function. It changes what we perceive as normal and leaves us dissatisfied with reality. And there isn't no spouse can fulfill what this portrays. And remember, it's not reality. But people expect that their spouse will match what they see. So it changes what we perceive as normal, leaves us dissatisfied with reality. It normalizes abuse, promotes rape, and fuels sex trafficking. And those are facts. And you know, if you go to a local prison and you talk to someone who has raped somebody, ask them where it started. It started with pornography. The effects are devastating. And the church is not exempt. The church is not exempt. A recent survey found that 50% of the Christian men and 20% of the Christian women are addicted to porn. It used to be that, you know, it was, oh, it's just males. It's not. It's males and females. So if you took taking this statistic into a church, that would mean that a church with 100 adults, 25 men and 10 women are struggling with porn. How did we get there? How did we get there? Idol worship. And when I say idol worship, sometimes we can worship ourselves, don't we? As an idol. And we give ourselves whatever we want, whenever we want, and in whatever way it takes that we get it. So I'm not going to wait on God. I'm going to get it myself when I want it, however I want it. So it's idol worship. No matter the cost. How do we get there? From not pursuing the wisdom that comes from God. So is there a way of protection? Is there a way to avoid this? Or is there no hope? Because I'll tell you what, it is an epidemic, isn't it? Is this a problem? Would you agree that it's a problem? How do we, how do, how do we avoid this? You know, you go back and you look at our text and you look at what is said here. Remove your way far from her. Do not go near the door of her house. Stay away from it. And don't go near the door of her house. So how do we avoid this adulterous woman? First of all, secure your mind. Pay attention. Lend your ear. Listen. Hear me. Hear what I'm saying. You know, in Job 31:1, Job made a covenant with his eyes. I will not look upon a virgin. I'm not going to look in lust. Daniel purposed in his heart. And you know, I said last week, we are in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual battle. Not only do we, I mean, turn your TV on, you have 75 channels to surf through, you have something in your pocket, and you have access to it 24/7. I have to secure my mind. I was reading one article that said, but lest we be fooled, we need to be reminded that it is the evil inside of me that hooks me to the evil outside of me. Let me read that again. It is the evil inside of me that hooks me to the evil outside of me. And I have to secure my mind. I have to take every thought captive. I have to make a covenant with my eyes. I have to make a commitment to honor God with my eyes, my ears, my nose, my mouth, my hands, my feet, my thoughts. I must be dependent on the Holy Spirit because I cannot fight this battle on my own. And I remember my dad telling me, when he was probably 60 years old at the time. They were traveling out west. They pulled into a wayside rest. He went in to use the bathroom. There's a pornographic magazine in there. And he turned around and he walked right out of there. And he is telling me this later. He said, Steve, I'm 60 years old. I'm a red-blooded male. You know, he said, it's always a battle. You can't ever let your guard down. No matter how old you are. That's why I say the church isn't exempt. Any one of us are capable of falling into, or no, I don't want to use the word falling into, because it's steps that we take to end up where Ravi Zacharias did. We're all capable of it. And if we think we're not, we're in trouble. And we're one poor decision away from immorality. And so secure your mind. Set up boundaries. Text says, don't go near her house. Remove your way far from her. Don't go near the door of her house. And set up boundaries. Sin looks pleasurable. We need to build a hedge around ourselves. We need to build a hedge around our marriage. We need to set up boundaries. You know, God's not anti-pleasure as long as that pleasure is within the boundaries. You know, some boundaries that we've set up in our marriage, for example, Carrie and I sat down and talked early on and we said, you know what, neither of us will ride in the vehicle with someone of the opposite sex alone. Not going to do that. Why not? You know, why wouldn't we do that? Because we're tempted? No, not necessarily. But I want to avoid the appearance of evil. I don't want any temptations. I don't want false accusations. Remember one time going home, we lived up north of Jerry and Kieran. They're up north of Moose Lake. My vehicle breaks down. I'm sure I was driving a Chevy then. So I break down and I'm walking to home. I had a mile walk. It's winter. And I didn't get far from my vehicle, and good friends of ours, Rick or Jamie Mickish, came by in their Suburban. And she said, I saw your truck. I give you a ride home. And I said, no, that's all right. And she looked at me and was like, no, sir, it's not a big deal. I said, no, I can't. I'm just going to walk. All right. She went home. I walked home. Was it because I was tempted or didn't trust Jamie? No, but I respected my wife too much. I respected Rick too much to do that. I walked. It wasn't a big deal. I set a boundary around my marriage. You know, another situation, I was working for Hopkins Electric. I was 26 years old. I was a journeyman, and they were going to hire an apprentice for me. And at that time, if you hired a minority or a woman, you got a kickback from the government. And so they're going to hire this 22-year-old girl. And so they told me, we're hiring you an apprentice. She's a 22-year-old girl just coming out of tech school. And I said, well, you know, it's your company. You do what you want with it. But I'm just telling you that if you hire her, I'm going to put in my resignation. And I'm not a male chauvinist. It's not that I don't like ladies. But I'd be riding in a vehicle with her and working with her 8 hours a day, and that's not fair to my wife. And so I just said, so if you want to hire her, that's fine, but I'm just letting you know I'm going to resign. I'm going to put in my notice. They didn't hire her. And again, it's just setting up boundaries. And part of that is, see your weaknesses. Part of being strong is knowing where you're weak. I fail when I think I can handle it. I can handle it. I can handle the temptation. I'm fine. I'm good. No, I can't. And set up boundaries. See your weaknesses. And another boundary, I don't know if some of you have probably heard, it's called covenant eyes. Covenant eyes can go on your phone, it can go on your computer, you have an accountability partner, everything you view will go to your accountability partner. If there's some pornographic site, it's flagged. Your accountability partner will call you up and you have a conversation. It's protection. It's a good thing. So set up boundaries. See your weaknesses. If we think that we can handle it, we can't. Shield your marriage. Some guys take their wives to places, do things with them, and they're asking for trouble. You watch movies that portray adultery as something great, and you open the door to trouble. And that's what Hollywood does. Man, it's glamorous. It's great. It's fun. That's what's portrayed. You know, I was on the Cohasset Fire Department for 5 years. And I got on the fire department, and they have what they call a ladies' night out every year. And the city pays for the firemen and their wives go to this expensive restaurant, and the guys are drinking, and there's a dance floor, and afterwards the guys are out dancing with other wives, and I hear them talking about this. Oh, I danced with his wife, and they're talking filthy. So that first year I'm on, it rolls around, it's ladies' night out. We didn't go. Berg, why weren't you there? I wanted to dance with your wife. Well, that wouldn't have went over well for you. But shield your marriage. We didn't go to one. I'm not gonna take my wife someplace and have her around that junk. All you're doing is asking for trouble. Don't put yourself or your spouse in those situations. Again, what does Hollywood portray? Does it line up with Philippians 4:8? Whatever is lovely and honest, of good report, think on these things. Is what you're watching, does it line up with Philippians 4:8? Should you be going there? And there's people that took their spouses into these different venues, different places, and had them watching movies and different things that portray sexual immorality as something great. And before long, it's pulling you in. Shield your marriage. We're in started my master's in biblical counseling. And there's a marriage counseling class that was part of that. Carrie sat in with me, and I remember the professor saying, someone is out there looking for your husband, and someone out there is looking for your wife. And think about that. And it's true. In the society we live in, Shield your marriage. Secure your mind, set up boundaries, see your weaknesses, shield your marriage, and then the so what here. Sexual temptation seems to be one of the most effective tools of the enemy in our day and age. Would you agree with that? It is everywhere. Everywhere you turn. It's one of the most effective tools of the enemy in our day and age. And we're in the process of seeing the destruction of a marriage that started with pornography at a young age that led to an addiction and then to adultery. It's just a terrible thing. And you and I are not exempt. We are not exempt. So what do? Pursue personal purity. Pursue the wisdom that comes from God. And this is what Proverbs has been about, pursuing the wisdom that comes from God. Secure personal accountability. I mentioned covenant eyes. And that personal accountability. Hebrews, that should say in your bulletin, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, not 1. I'm so glad when Pastor Brian picked the wrong hymn number. Because I mess up all the time. I thought he's human. But Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Hey, stir one another up to love and good works. Accountability is a good thing. And we should have friends in our lives that's come up and ask, hey, how you doing? What are you watching? What are you looking at? What are you searching for on the web? Are you guarding your eyes? Your mind? Are you securing your mind? We need that. I need that. You need that. Secure personal accountability. Guard your communication. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt words proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for the necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. There's a lot of filthy communication out there. Used to work, you know, as an electrician. I'm on construction sites all the time. And the filth that goes on, and that can permeate through your mind. Walk away from it. Do not expose yourself to materials and media that will stimulate your mind and body. Romans 13:13 and 14, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. If I don't make provision for the lusts of the flesh, then it isn't going to happen. Don't open the door to it. Don't go near her house. Don't go anywhere near it. And then finally, remember whose you are. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Remember whose you are. You know, think of the price that was paid for your redemption, your salvation. And to take that lightly and to abuse God's grace is a terrible thing. Remember whose you are. And Proverbs 5 is so relevant for today. To avoid the adulterous woman and to make this relevant forever, avoid sexual immorality. You know, ladies are it's a danger for you as well. Kids, don't go near it. Parents, we have to protect against it, because I'm telling you, it is everywhere. It's in your public library in Grand Rapids. I know it is. When we confronted it, oh, they were upset with us. But I'm telling you, it's there. It's on the phones, it's on the iPads, it's on the television. First thing we did, we got rid of Paul Bunyan and got some other source of TV. I had to go through and start blocking stuff. Start removing it. And you have to be aware and be alert and walk through this. Pursue wisdom. Secure accountability. Guard your communication. Don't expose yourself. And remember whose you are. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this passage and just the reminder for me this week of how devastating sexual immorality is. It has sidelined so many pastors. It has hurt so many families. It has done so much damage and destruction. Lord, I pray that each one of us here would put a hedge around ourselves. Put a hedge around our marriages. Lord, we are so prone to wander, so in so much danger, and we need to be immersed in your word. We need to be filled with your spirit so this doesn't destroy our families and destroy this church, destroy our ministries that you have so graciously allowed us to be part of. So Lord, may you be exalted in our response to your word today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.